Hi guys, welcome to the Hear Me Out and Speaking Arrangements podcast collab. This is Becoming, where we'll be taking you on a short series discussing how relationships, culture, and society influence our identity. Each episode will break down specific key elements that make us who we are. We want the series to enlighten you, to challenge you, and to help you become your best self. This last installment is going to be a two-part episode with Yemi, who gracefully joined us again. So let's get into it.
Raised and your experience and just how you speak, like it just sounds like you have like a good self-esteem.
Yeah.
And just in general, and then like you've spoken about your upbringing and, you know, the mentors and the influences and the guides that you've had around you to help you grow, to help you learn. And so I want to speak to the situation of men. I feel like,
well, let's bring it
I
back
feel
right
like
there.
A lot of genuinely this is something I'm like, aside from it being a hot topic, something I'm always concerned about.
Me too.
I feel like there are a lot of insecure men with that just don't have healthy self-esteem. So, but first I want to ask you, like, has your esteem always been like relatively healthy, or like what would you say it's been like, or how did you build it up, maybe?
I mean, it wasn't perfect in all aspects, but I can't, thinking back, I don't think I ever suffered from low self-esteem. And I remember your podcast, you were talking about low self-esteem versus a healthy self-esteem versus a high self-esteem, which is could be pride in some ways. I don't think, I'm just thinking this through in my mind to answer this. I don't think there was ever low self-esteem. I didn't see myself as inferior to people. Neither did I take out things on people because I felt like I was being made fun of or being looked down on. And I don't think I really had any high self-esteem really as well. It's been pretty neutral. And I think that comes with an early understanding and appreciation of people. And it has nothing to do with me. My dad's a minister. He's a pastor. My mom's a lawyer. Right. So lawyers have to deal with all sorts of people and manage. There's an understanding of people you hear.
Of course. Yeah.
And of course, my dad is a pastor. And one unique thing that I think I experienced with him was, he would always tell me stories, right, of things that he was dealing with in terms of people, without naming names or anything. He would always be vague, but he would always work me through his perception of the situation and then what he thinks happened. So, you know, a good example, I must have been 13, younger than that, when he told me just simply that he had a conversation with a, okay, so I'm trying to remember this exactly. Okay, so a man came to church, right? And my dad asked him, "Oh, how are you doing? How's your family?" And the man, you know, said in, you know, this is a Nigerian guy, an African guy. So he said it with like way more drama and accent than I'm saying. He said pretty much, "Oh, my family's at home. I don't know what's wrong with them. They don't want to come to church." And my dad said, he told him, "No, no, no. You should be with your family. If your family doesn't want to come to church, then go back home. Either you all come together or you stay with your family as a man, as the husband." Right? And he was just trying to teach me that, you know, like as a husband, as a man, you don't take pride in just like your worship of God by yourself. If you're a father, if you're a husband, your pride has to also be attached to the fact that your family is doing that along with you. So just different.
Don't talk about it.
You know what, Yemi?
Just different things like that, right?
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen. Amen. Like, I'm trying to understand your reaction to this, because this, for me, this is like a simple conversation that I had with my dad, and it was just something like, "Oh, okay, that makes complete sense."
Yeah.
Like when you think about it, or you know, a young person coming to church asking for help with school. But then before they receive that help, the church says, "No, no, no, you need to, where are your parents? As long as they're not against you going to school, have them come to church with you so you can receive the money together, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where the young person now says, 'No, the church is supporting me. I don't need to listen to my parents anymore.'" So those conversations, and you know, seeing some of the wild things that happen, my mom had she probably still does, had a good relationship with the police because as a lawyer,
yeah.
she had to figure out a lot of people out of jail, things like that, even though it was lawyering for a bank. You know, that's like corruption.
Corruption
setting. So, it was just being able to see all that. And in fact, having, you know, an interesting family in some degree, like everyone has that, just that openness about what was happening helps to let you understand people.
Mm.
And the more understanding of people you have, the more comfortable you are with them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't perfect across the board. There were still types of people I didn't understand, right? Because I'd never met them before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely did see some insecurities in those aspects.
Yeah.
But I think it helps to get as much information as possible about the people that you're trying to understand, maybe not directly from them, go figure them out somewhere else, or go ask questions, or ask the Lord to show you, right? Some of them might be in the Bible, right? Hashtag Judas and all those people, right? And then you're like, you can understand that, that, you know, they're coming from that place. And then your understanding of them, you don't fear what you understand, helps you to not have like a, you know, uncomfortable and uncertain self-esteem.
I feel like that example that you gave about the man was like as simple as it might seem like as simple as it might seem to you, like speaking from my experience, I feel like that's such an important lesson for young kids to understand, like girls and boys,
right?
Going back to our episode that we did previously about manhood, like it's so simple, but it explains the role of a man and like in a healthy way, right? That a man doesn't just take pride in moving, you know, moving solely or like bossing his family around, but you know, taking ownership and like, you know, building that community.
Right.
So I feel like that's such an important lesson that you learned. Because it also shows how like many men or people have a misconstrued idea of manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so they walk around with that pride and insecurity. So can you maybe speak to if you have witnessed or heard about in your conversations with other men, like what are some insecurities that men genuinely deal with that like makes it hard for them to have a healthy, you know, relationship with their manhood and actually
and
be
up.
Able to, and to be able to like show up and, you know.
I don't have many guy friends, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't. Not really.
Actually, that's good. Need that. Need more of that.
Oh, wow.
But I won't speak too much.
I was in a conversation early on in university. I always found conversations with guys to be interesting.
Mm.
It's a little interesting when it's you're talking to Christian guys.
Mm.
It's a lot interesting when you're talking to like non-Christian people. First of all, there is a guy-to-guy sort of conversation that is mired, you know, dressed up, you know, in the, you know, just the salad dressing of I'm. Do I respect you?
Yeah.
Do I not respect you? Okay.
Yeah.
If I respect you, I don't want to show that I respect you too much. Or I might go to the extreme and be like, I'm trying to be like you.
Yeah.
Trying to be like you, big dog. Big bro, little bro. Big bro.
Big bro, little bro. Can you imagine?
Right.
Trying to be like you, my guy.
Let me tell you a silly story because I've done this before. There's, you know, university days, there's a guy that, you know, he would always, you know, hail me and I would hail him back. Mm. Like, I did on the floor for you. So he prostrates. I would also prostrate for him too. We'd be out in public. And I did it because I found it partly funny.
Yeah.
Because I find most of these things funny. But it was just sort of weird. It spoke to a weird need to connect in some way, but not really know how to.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think many guys grew up knowing how to be friends with other guys.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's like when they all come together, it's like, girl.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like,
knowing how to be friends in general.
Yeah. Like the real comfortable conversations where you're secure and you were able to share your feelings and things like that happens with very
rare.
It's very rare, right? I do have a best friend in the States, and we have those kind of conversations every now and then, but we don't have enough of them, right? And it still speaks to that feeling that, you know, security doesn't really translate to having good conversations with guy friends. So that's the guy friends part. Mm-hmm. Now, like I was saying, sorry, the conversation I was in a while back with all these guys, and the entire conversation was about, you know, money, how to make it, how much money these other people are making. Mm-hmm. And you never, ever really talk about people that are making money that you actually know, because now there's some sort of feeling of insecurity. So it's like, no, I'll talk about Jay-Z. He has money. Right? I'll talk about Elon Musk. He has money. But I won't talk about like James down the street that's making a lot of money. He will respect, because we obviously don't have as much money as him, but we won't really say much. Then, you know, you bring up the topic of girls. And most of the time, I saw this in that conversation. It was, and this was why it was strange for me to sort of still talk to guys after this. In that conversation, it was a listing of girls who were obviously attractive, but then they were like beating them all down for like, they're not attractive, this is this, this is that.
Oh, I have a lot to say on that.
Okay, so keep that in mind, because I'm wondering. And it was uncomfortable because I was like, there's nothing wrong with these people. But then they proceeded to all go ahead and either insult them or imply heavily that they had had some sort of close relationship with them. And I was like, the two can't be the same thing, right? They both, you know, you can't both insult them. Because some people were forgetting their place in the script and like saying both things at the same time. Oh, yeah, I did this, I did that with this person, right? And that sort of, I don't want to just distill it down to money and girls, but that was the majority of the insecurity conversation. There was a lot more going on under this, you know, the cover, you know, in terms of relationship with parents. Dreams for the future, but those things don't, they rarely get mentioned, right? And most guys, it's like taboo. You're not even going to bring it up if there's a group of guys. Right? I really can't even think right now of more than two or three guys gathering to discuss the Bible. Like the image of that is hard. But I hope it happens in places.
No, I don't even know where to start.
I don't.
No, because, okay, I'll start. Well, I just want to touch on the fact that you said of the men, like, comparing or talking about other men with money, but they can never talk about the ones close around to them. Because, you know, and I think a lot of people can do this, men and women, but I've definitely seen that with men because it's kind of just like, okay, you're talking about this person now, what do you, and it's like, it makes them like feel like, oh, but I'm not doing that. And so they don't want to put themselves like in a vulnerable position in that way. But to the topic of women and how men talk about women, it's how men address women. I feel like men, I feel like there are a lot of insecure men that are just like jealous of women. And I feel like jealous of confident women, let me say. It could be, and that's subjective to anybody, you know, whoever you view as confident. I feel like a lot of men, this is, I have this theory in my head. I feel like because of a man's insecurity, he might want a woman, like a woman, he sees that she's beautiful, she's respected, you know, she does what she's doing and like, you know, people love her. And so he admires her. I won't say he respects her. I don't think that a man with insecurity can fully, like that kind of, can actually respect and like sees a woman for who she is.
Because respect takes comfortability with
yourself. So I feel like he would admire her. And so I feel like a lot of men go after this type of women, like a lot of insecure men go after this type of women, because now achieving that makes you feel like, okay, well, if she's here and I can get her, that makes me like
100%.
Up there, right? And so I've seen a lot of men do that. And I mean, like even for myself, I'm really, I've heard a lot of men like say, like tell me personally that like, they were honestly, and the ones that have told me, I respect them. That have said like they're intimidated by me, right? And like that's fair, you know. You could be intimidated by anybody based on whatever, but it's the ones that would feel that and like know that, and then try to like downplay you, or try to make you feel like you're less than, or there's an issue with
or
you,
hurt you, period.
Just hurt you in any way. And I feel like men need to really dig, like get what's
shovel.
That? Not even a shovel. The thing that they use at construction sites
to
dig out dirt.
get right down.
No, go to the construction site, whatever tool they use there to dig out dirt, get that to dig deep, because I feel like there is some serious insecurity. And they now, yeah, that's when they get into circles and they're speaking about women, someone like a woman that is minding her business, doing her thing, and is, you know, beautiful, smart, talented, and now will either degrade her or make it seem like, oh, I've already had that. And I've literally been in a conversation with some guys. I won't say names.
No,
I would never. That literally said, like, yeah, like I want my woman to be like a boss. Like I want her to be out there, you know, doing her thing. But like, to me, that I'm her boss.
Yeah.
I'm just like, is this servitude? Like, is this slavery? I don't understand.
It's a real thing though.
I don't understand what makes them feel like that is what's necessary. And that like a confident woman is like out of control and loose or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know if you've ever heard or experienced that, but you can tell me your thoughts on it.
No, I just think it's, I don't think it's, I know what, you know, the statistics might be biased, right? From the number of people that you meet, it might inform that a lot of guys are like that. I don't think many guys are like that. I don't see a lot of guys that think like that. I don't, is what I'm saying. So my point is, I don't.
Yeah, that's you.
But
know.
If you say you do, then that I believe that as well.
You're probably around the good ones.
So. Yeah. So I'm just offering some, you know, it might be self-repeating behavior or self, fulfillment of prophecy that you've already seen already. I think that that happens because of an incomplete understanding of how these things should work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that, you know, just humbly in my own opinion, that for instance, you know, it's like the sentence is not fully formed, and so all you've seen is, you know, head of the home, boss, woman should be, you know, submissive, but also a boss, you know. And just different things. And he's like, okay, this is the framework I'm going to work with.
Mm.
And then with the whole feeling of insecurity, you know, you don't even really pay attention. Like, it's hard for, we have all these movies where you see this guy that is not as rich as the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard for them to, they always have this cliche, even though it might be true. Mm-hmm. Cliche just means, you know, this cliche thing of he being uncomfortable with her wealth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then they connect because, you know, at the initial stage, she's paying attention to all his good qualities and he's paying attention to all her good qualities and her attempt to sort of bring herself to a level where he can appreciate her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as time passes, he then reacts violently because of, you know, oh, she was coming back from work and then, you know, her rich guy friend from work and her finished on meeting.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah. We're writing the new Tyler Perry movie. Right? So that sort of thing. And like I said, it's just an incomplete understanding of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take all those different words and you're writing a different story.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if there's a way to help people understand or have a clear understanding of, you know, each other, like, so, you know, you understand what women are really paying attention to and what men are really paying attention to, then as a man, you're not projecting what a woman would want onto her. You're not saying, I would expect as a man that I would be respected, right? And I would be, you know, cherished in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you say that's what she's expecting from me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that because I don't have any money. And then you now disqualify yourself and you hold that as an insecurity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? What women want is completely different.
Yeah.
Right? And in fact, it's not something that you learn. Like, you don't read a book and you're like, oh, I'm done. I know it. It's something that you learn over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you have to have some sort of starting point. And it's actually so sacred that I wouldn't even go ahead. And also because I don't like it when, you know, guys do this on podcasts where they go like, hey, let me tell you what women want, guys.
Let me
list it all for you. Like, you just need someone to be at home and just hold her hand and, you know, cook dinner. And
they love her.
They love her. I'm like, okay, cool. But that's not, they're more complicated than that.
Yeah.
Those things don't necessarily stand out as much. But I think if you are comfortable enough and don't project is my suggestion. Don't project what you would want on the woman's expectations of you.
Yeah.
So that you don't then say, oh no, this would be impossible for me, so it's impossible for her. Mm-hmm. And so anything I'm getting from her is not exactly what she would want. Yeah. Mm-hmm, I've seen I have seen women try to convince guys that, no, I like you.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, no, because of da, 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 yeah. Right? And it's because he's projecting that that's not what I would want. That's
yeah,
what,
exactly.
Yeah. You know, so what I would want, you're not giving, yeah. You're not going to be able to give. So
this is not what big bros.
This is not what big bros.
Yeah, it's not what big bros. Right? Of course, you know, if you meet with another big bro and they tell you that, yeah, no, it seems like, you know, it's been, you know, so like it's very hard for, I'm going off track here, but it's very hard for guys to maybe even understand that, okay, for some guys to understand that, okay, a woman can have a guy friend and it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Because they think, oh, she likes this particular thing in them and that's what she really wants.
Mm.
And then me, I'm just like at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, so in that sense, I think, if you don't project and then you listen and you have some sort of conversation and you trust that if her, you know, basic understanding is that if a woman is talking to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, if she responds, takes your calls, picks up the phone, then there is some interest there.
There must be something there.
Yeah, there must be some interest there.
Sure.
And then from there, and obviously, and counterwise, if she doesn't, then there's no interest
there.
Leave
her alone.
Yeah.
That's like a whole...
Kaya's doing the ad-libs today.
Oh yeah, she is today because this is her bag.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But,
yeah, it's just that. Yeah, really.
I love that. I love this topic so much, and I just feel like you're like the best person to talk about it. But you know what? I was also thinking, you know, because after your podcast, like I had this guy that I was cool with, and he's like, "Oh man, I really like loved what he said. He just really honed in on what you said." And he was like, "Yeah, you and your co-host were cool, but this guy, like, but you know what's so interesting? He's like, this guy
did not hear the women
say. He didn't hear us speak. But what I love about." Like what you're saying and what your experiences have been. And I know there's other people out there, like, you know, that find themselves maybe similar to you or your thoughts and how you think, but it's very rare. Like, and I feel like you're the type of person that's kind of like in your own world too at the same time. Like you have your life and you know what I mean? But for, I don't know, maybe like someone like me and Kaya that like has a podcast and we interact with like a lot of like different people, not saying that you don't, but maybe not the right people. Who knows?
I think you're right, actually.
So... this is not normal. Like what you're saying is foreign. It's rare. It's giving prayer, fasting. That's why a lot of women think that finding the right guy in marriage is so hard. One, and is a reward from God. Because to find someone that can think and actually have a serious conversation with you and not be like, you know, with respect and really want to get to know you and not. Because I think that a lot of men approach a lot of situations and I think where their insecurities sometimes can come from. And I think this is like, and I can only speak from my experiences because I've dated mainly African men, like black guys. And, you know, maybe Nigerian or Ghanaian or whatever, but they lead with how they can provide. Like, you know what I mean? That's a big thing. Like how they, like, you know, this guy that I was cool with, his main thing was, I'm a provider. How can I provide? You know, it's the end of the year. I haven't hit these goals. Like, it's a problem. Like, you can tell, like, it was a real problem. And I think, like Kaya was saying, you know, for someone like me, I don't like to say have it together, but I provide for myself. Like, you know, I've always been able to be independent. And, you know, that's just something that my mom taught me. You know what I mean? I don't really fall into that, that gap. He didn't know how to really connect with me. Like, you know what I mean? But for me, I'm very like straightforward. I'm going to tell you if I like you. I'm not going to convince you. I'm gonna be like, hey, I like you. I'm going to do things for you. If I do, like, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And he didn't understand that. For him, it was like, what? What's happening here? So then they go into a place where they have to either one, self-sabotage. The whole thing, the whole situation. It's giving self-sabotage.
Tear it down.
Tear it down. Or they have to like play you in some type of like, you know, do some misleading, sneaky, you know, that's, and for me, for someone that I do like to call myself very emotional, I have emotional intelligence. That's something that God has just given me. Like, it's not the perfect, but I know when you're, I don't want to analyze you, but I know there's certain things happening here that's making you fall into that. You know what I mean? And I think it's so... it's so sad that a lot of these men, their insecurities come from not being able to provide for themselves. And like you said, never talking about that guy that really does have the money that's in close proximity. It's Jay-Z. It's Elon Musk. Like, you know what I mean? It's just completely closed off. A lot of these men, like she was saying, are seriously walking around broken. Like they don't know how to interact. It's either sex, girls, money, how they look. And when they, because a lot of women too have fallen into that where, you know, I've heard this thing where men lead with money and women lead with their bodies or sexuality or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? And then when those two things clash.
Even that is a shaky concept.
That is a shaky concept, but I know where they're forming from. You know what I mean? When you look into, not the kingdom of God, but when you look into, and if I'm being very honest, there's spillages now, right? Which is just fair. Yeah. But how, like, I don't even know where to start, like she said.
No.
When you speak and you're looking at us like, isn't this just simple? It's not simple. This is real.
I mean, I don't think it's simple.
Right? Oh, okay.
I don't think it's simple. I understand where everyone is coming from. I've given it some thought and...
You gonna write a book?
No, I am gonna write a book.
Open a mentorship class? Yeah, mentorship.
I've given it some thought. One of the first books I bought, it's still on my Kindle to remind me never to do that again. It's a book by this guy who, you know, I won't tell you the title of the book, but on the cover of the book, it's like a guy in a suit. And then like his, this is like 2014, 2013. That's like 9 years ago. This book, it was like one of the first books I bought on Amazon, and it's a Kindle book. And, you know, he's the cover of the book is this guy in a suit, and like it's a clean suit, and he's Amazon, his suit jacket.
Mm.
And like the book is named after him.
Mm.
And it's like, adopt my way of lifestyle, my personality.
Oh,
these are the clothes to buy. These are the things to wear.
Wow.
These are the glasses to wear. Like, and I didn't really read the book, but I found it interesting at the time. And it's actually good for me to actually analyze why I did.
That's really good.
But it was, I bought it a while back and I thought it was interesting to see. So I think for a lot of guys, it's actually kind of a subconscious approach to things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the part of me giving it some thought is the fact that, yeah, it seems like a lot of guys have these issues as we see them too, but we can't make more guys.
Mm. We can't. Lord can't send them down. Like,
we're not making more guys in terms of the guys at our age group that fit into that. So what we really sort of then need, and also for girls too, or ladies, what we need is the re-education.
Yes.
Like we understand. And I think that's still possible for as long as people understand that their actions are based on questions they haven't answered yet, as opposed to this is my personality now.
Yeah.
So you admit that, okay, I'm not certain I should be acting this way.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe not how I should be. Mm-hmm. Is this right? Is this okay? And then you can hear conversations like this or come to relationship matters or church.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear, okay, this is a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it was a mistake for whoever came up with the whole guys are hunters thing, because it was like,
thank you.
You guys are hunters.
We're tired.
You go into the history books and then you go into the history books and it's like, your understanding of a hunter is someone who has bait.
Yeah.
And must, you know, capture his prey or kill it and eat it, right? And then, like, you're done with it and you know, you put the carcass on the mantle, you know, you taxidermist or whatever, you put it on the wall. That's your win.
Yeah.
And you have it as a trophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those words, all that understanding comes with, you know, the concept of being a hunter.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the whole point of the word men, the phrase men are hunters is really that you initiate the first move.
Yeah.
Right? Because that is the polite thing to do, that is usually the preferred thing to do, especially because you're going to be taking responsibility for the rest of your life if you're still with that person.
Yeah.
So why not start with the first move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point of hunting. But, you know, we've taken it afar to baiting and all that stuff. if you understand that, then you understand that you're not hunting or trying to kill someone, trying to trap someone or trying to trick someone. Like, they're not different kinds of, you know, there's rabbits.
Yeah. Deer,
tricking and trapping.
Oh, you know? Trapping and tricking.
Yeah.
Tired.
That's a new one. Trapping. Yeah.
Trapping and tricking.
No. It's, no.
We should name it this. Trapping and tricking.
No, not the bendo. Come on, guys.
Yeah. That's bendo, exactly please. What's happening.
It's if you understand that it's not hunting, it's really a negotiation.
Yeah.
Right? It's supposed to be win-win.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that, then, and you know, it's just win-win. So that's all, you know, win-win. So when you meet the person, you're figuring out if, you know, what they're all about and you're letting them know what you're all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys are trying to find a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find a win-win, then, you know, congratulations, off you go.
Yeah.
Am I tricking you? Are you supposed to be tricking
here?
Like, are you tricking me? Am I supposed to be, you know, reacting? So same thing with Adam, right? Adam didn't go hunt his wife. No. He had to take the first move. He had to say, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. He recognized that.
Yeah.
But the way he got her was, you know, or met with her was that, you know, God literally just put him to sleep, took him out of him. It was an easy conversation.
Come on, Lord.
Was not supposed to be stressful, right? And I think it's good for guys' health and cholesterol and everything to not put yourself in a place where you're this hunter guy.
Yep.
Right? Because now you're changing your personality, you're changing your clothes, you're changing your cars, you're changing all the things that you have because you think that that's supposed to help you get to that place, right? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, an easy negotiation will help you understand, like, yes, women like cool things, good-looking things, awesome things, like, you know, cars, flashy things. Mm-hmm. But that's not because they think everyone should have that. It's just because they have an appreciation for beauty, right?
Come on. Are you men listening? Can you hear me?
I mean, yes. So, an appreciation for beauty, right? And and I'm only saying that as it's coming to me because, and you know, same thing, you know, guys expect some certain levels of things that women can also appreciate, right? But it really is a negotiation. Mm-hmm. It's not a battle. It's not a battlefield, you know?
I was gonna end it on something, but this just came to my spirit. And I feel led? I feel led. I feel like this will bless me.
Did it come to your spirit or did it break out of,
no,
of a locked door?
No. It's not something violent. Don't worry. I think I'm done with that for now. Let's end with something lovely and peaceable. After all that you have said, it's not a negotiation and, you know, talking about it. You've shared with us, but can you share with the people your approach? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but your approach and how you went about with your wife, your beautiful wife.
Shout out to Nanye.
Because we really love that. We love that story. It really gave me hope.
Give me a good push.
Yeah.
Every time I see her, I'm just like, God, you are just wonderful.
I'm mentally classifying things in my head right now.
I know you're trying to sort the story. Okay. Give us the raw version. It's okay.
I mean, I'll say a few things and you guys can fill in the blanks.
Okay.
And you might not be correct on filling in the blanks, but at least I'm still trying to get the message across. So we've been best friends for, what is it now? This is 2022. So know each other, 12 years.
Wow.
That's 12 years? Yeah, 12 years. Where we met, you know, she wasn't single. Right?
he whispers that.
He's like, single.
She was single. And I respected that.
Mm-hmm.
I respected that, but one thing I definitely remember was because we didn't live in the same place, in the same city. I remember that, of course, you know, after meeting her, coming back with all due respect to whoever it was back then, just an appreciation for her that, okay, this is an interesting person. This is a great person. Mm-hmm. And we connected.
She's beautiful.
We vibed.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yeah, we vibed on different
high-class
things.
Babe. Love you, Nanye.
I was talking to her today. She says catch flights, not feelings.
Listen, we have to have Nanye on this pod. We can't just keep bringing Yemi back. We need the real.
I told her she's banned from pods. Like, no, she can't. You know, but on the more serious note, though, we met. You know, we had a conversation, and it really just about getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because we're younger then. Mm-hmm. Because I'm saying, what am I saying? Did I say
20?
No. I'm sorry. This must be 2010. Is different. No. This 14 now. Must be 14 years.
Wow.
So yeah, like 1920 is when we first met each other, right? So again, there wasn't that burden of certain things. Although people at that age tend to sometimes have that burden.
Yeah.
Right? But I, like you said, I've never really grown up in those circles.
Mm.
So my own appreciation of people has always come from like, oh, this is you. Mm-hmm. This is all you are. Mm-hmm. This is all everything about you.
Mm.
And then I can appreciate that or say, okay, no, it's not really my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't feel that pressure of, you know, all the things you've said that maybe on the outside, you know, you're a beautiful person, you know, all the people are chasing her, you know, at that time. And you don't really feel that burden because you're like, no, I'm just getting to know you at a nice level. Mm-hmm. Good to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a conversation. And it was real conversations. Oh, you know, this worked, this couldn't work, you know. And then even with all that still, there was still some friction to get through, right? In terms of just personalities and knowing each other. And then you get through that and then it's amazing. Mm. But again, like I said, it's all about just knowing that it's a negotiation.
Yeah.
At no point did I flaunt anything.
Mm.
Right. And I think I learned that early, that you don't really need to flaunt anything. Mm-hmm. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Be who you really are. I think that's way more interesting. Because if you think about the flaunting thing is like a template. It's like that Kardashian look that everyone was getting at some point. It's like everyone looks like a Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Like everyone looks like a rapper. Everyone looks like this personality.
Yeah.
And you're copying. And so it's boring.
Yeah.
Right. And it's boring. So, you know, Noye had something on her social media a long time ago that said, if you're boring, keep it moving.
I love her.
And you know what? To me, that meant, be a real person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And that's what it meant to her too as well. Mm-hmm. Right. So, even people who may be seen as people who are materialistic, I don't think they really care about that stuff to a certain degree, unless they're like suffering from materialism themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some people who are really materialistic, but they don't actually own that as their personality. They're not what do they call them? People in like California or Las Vegas, like there's a word for them where they're like valley people, where they really enjoy all that
stuff,
all that stuff, and it's really part of their personality. Like, I must look like this all the time. Like, no. If there's a lot of women out there who are materialistic, but it's not their personality, right? And so they really do appreciate talking to a real person.
That's me,
right? So I think in the same way, in the same place, checkbox for you.
Yeah.
In the same place, though, you just be real and then things just continue over time. It's hard for me to sort of, we didn't have the struggle of, oh, this is a hunt and this is that. I don't even think it would have lasted that long because she is very good at like sniffing out when someone is being honest or not.
Yeah.
So, and I think most people are. Mm-hmm. Like they can tell that this is, you're just being pretentious, right? And so in that case, you just fail before you even started. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's really important, what you said about, well, luckily you didn't have like that burden at that age.
Yeah.
But I feel like just in general, something that a lot of people need to adopt more is just having the curiosity about people, general curiosity about getting to know people. And I feel like men or women can lose that oftentimes when they have that burden or they have that spotlight on a relationship, marriage, this, that. And so they're just focused on, okay, do you fit these checkboxes? Like, do you fit these, you know, these things that I'm looking for? Do you check off everything? And then they just focus on watching for those parts that even while getting to know somebody, they're missing, like capturing the entirety of that person, right? They're not getting a holistic experience of them. They're really just like focusing on, oh, you know, he works hard. Mm. Oh, you know, she takes care of herself in this way. Right. She cooks, like he goes to the gym, that.
But there's so many other things. And it feels like it's a disrespect to yourself too as well.
Yeah.
If you don't find out more about them and see if they actually work for you.
For you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like why wait? Why fulfill a short-term, you know, desire to connect with a person and then like put them in your diary as this is the person that I'm dating. Mm-hmm. But then 2 weeks down the line, some aspect of the personality that you personally don't like now comes up, right? And it could be something mundane, but again, still.
Yeah. And so like for me, like something that's very big for me is I really like thoughtful people.
Right.
And so it's like very hard in this age range where people are so focused on relationships and marriage and like just this generation as well, where people aren't really engaged in conversation and they're not really in it for the long run also. That's the problem. Right. They're kind of just like, okay, this is what I want. You know, does it help me achieve my goal? They just focus on the goal. They're not enjoying the journey of it.
Yes.
And it makes it very difficult. But I feel like just in general, like the more that I've been practicing it for myself, I enjoy all my relationships, you know, even like there was a time where I got to interview my dad for a school project. And I remember I was just like, there's so much that I didn't like. There's so much that I would not have known that is just like his whole life history. Me being here was just completely ordained by God. Like his whole life history, like things were just.
Yeah.
And I'm just like my dad, I look at him, he's like my dad, but he had a whole life before this.
Right.
Like he's so interesting. There's so many things that like make him who he is, right? But I feel like when people miss that curiosity and, you know, that desire to know people mm-hmm. for who they are, and just going back to our first point, who God made them to be, mm-hmm. then it makes you miss out on a lot of good things. So yeah, I think that's kind of a good place to end. I don't know if Becca wants to say anything.
I definitely do. Mm-hmm. And we'll end off with this, but just going back to what you were saying. Okay. So for someone like me, mm-hmm. I think that, or let's just say women too, because a lot of girls and like friends of mine in my friends group, and just like things that I listen to, and like just different. I love that you said that there was like really no pressure for you to get to know Nonya, which is your wife now, mm-hmm. and you guys just really got to know each other, right. which is awesome. And I know you said about the curiosity of people and really getting to know them. That just really sparked a light bulb in my head, because I find that as women, I'm older, so, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not the oldest, but I'm older. I'm up there, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I feel like you get to a place where there's, like, this template now. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So if you meet somebody, you start talking to them, but then you start hearing the whispers of your girlfriends and stuff. Like, girl, you're just going to keep talking to this guy. What y'all going to do? Right. Where y'all going? How is this going to be? And I find that naturally, I'm the type of person where I like to actually take my time to really get to know people. Right. You know what I mean? But there was somebody that I was cool with, and I feel like I had to succumb to that pressure of like, because, you know, there was always questions like, what are you talking to this guy for? Right. First of all, let me just put a disclaimer out there, young ladies. This is just my experience. If you meet a guy, please do not sleep with these men. What Yemi's saying is completely out of the ballpark if you have that. You start with that intimacy. So I feel like now you've got to know that person like on a completely like different level, and it makes things like messy, and that's where a lot of the pressure comes from. And I think that's a lot of things, like that's like something that subconsciously is like fed to women. Like, you know, you gotta like do this. So But if you're, you know, if you're really just trying to do this God's way and you meet a guy, I feel like there's still that template of like how long you should get to know them for. Should you only give them 3 months? You know what I mean? And I feel that it gets murky, and then there's so much pressure. So as a woman, what would you say to, you know, all my girlfriends, like women like me, like how do you navigate that season in your time? Do you give them the time? Do you get to know them? Like,
well, good counsel from women that I've heard and respect is that the expectation, and it really is the same thing I've heard from guys too as well, from men actually I should say, it's a negotiation, but you're taking different positions. So as a guy, you don't negotiate to find out if just to like chill and like just discover like Discovery Channel. No. Like it's more that you've taken a certain decision in your head. Right. So I'll tell you this. When I met Noya, I told a friend that I think I've met the girl that I'm going to marry.
Wow.
Right. And it was like, okay, in your head, that's like we're in that zone.
Yeah.
And now the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Meaning that you're not just discovering, like this isn't you're not trying to make a friend. Like, okay. You're trying to make a wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you're not trying to, you know, just figure out people. You know, this is someone that, okay, based on a few things, and it's really why it's important to either be someone who's to really have the Holy Spirit, right?
Exactly.
Because you need to be able to feel that nudge, right? Just like Jacob felt that nudge with his own wife, and then based on that nudge, you're taking steps. So in an ideal world, the understanding when you see two people talking together like that is that the guy has somewhere in his mind penciled in marriage in his head.
Okay.
He doesn't have to say it, but you can tell by the urgency of, you know, the discovery, the time boxness, the respectfulness of the whole thing, right, that, you know, this is someone that is on a real sort of project. It doesn't seem like that, it doesn't have to feel like that, but you know that, okay, there's that seriousness there. The woman is under no obligation really to take that same approach. She's not trying to, you know, like she's not making a commitment in her head to marry this person.
Yeah.
Right. She's being encouraged by his responsibility, by his assuredness of what he wants, you know, and then obviously now the discovery part where they're both gelling together, you know, of course, understanding God's plan for each other and of course, talking to authority, all that stuff helps to like cement that for her.
Yeah.
But as a guy, you come in thinking, okay, this is what I'm actually trying to do. Right. And then that informs the kind of conversations that you're having. It really does. And so that's why even as a guy, you need to be careful, because then you want to make sure that you're not taking that same approach with different people. Right.
Oh,
and so you can tell if a person understands that by, you know, certain things, you know, the conversations they're having with people, conversations they've had in the past. Do they understand that now that mm-hmm. this isn't like, this isn't a casual thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you take it casually, then like what you said about premarital sex, you're going to cut short things. You're going to affect people. You're going to just leave broken, you know, glass everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. But you then need to just be really serious about it. Doesn't need to make you insecure that you're coming in. You have to don't feel insecure or don't feel sort of uncomfortable that you're coming in with that thought in your mind, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? It really is the expectation. Like, unless what are we doing here? Like, why are we all talking to each other? Like, you're trying to waste our time.
Being intentional.
Exactly. You absolutely have to be intentional, right? And it doesn't matter what age you're at. Like Pastor was saying yesterday in work-life balance?
Yeah.
That as long as you know that you're able to take care of, you know, someone, you're a family, you're committed, mm-hmm. you've reached a certain point and you have your parents' blessing, you know, because they think you're mature, mm-hmm. and authority's blessing because they think you're mature, then, you know, take that step, go forward. But really, really don't figure out, you kind of really need to know a lot about yourself to be able to identify someone and sort of make that pencil in your head that, I could marry this person. Mm. So that's what a guy is thinking.
It's flipped right now. Women are doing that and men are just like chilling. Yeah,
no. So it can't work that way, right? It has to be the guy thinking that. He has to approach with that energy.
Okay.
And I think there's some liberty for a woman to feel like if she's not sensing it or mm-hmm. she just wants to make it clear, you can outright ask the person, mm-hmm. right? And they shouldn't stutter. They shouldn't, just like ghost you for like 2 days mm-hmm. before they answer the question.
Mm-hmm. They ghost forever.
It should be something that
they ghost you forever.
It could be back to the insecurities thing, but mm-hmm. you don't have to be insecure. If you know yourself enough as a guy, by the grace mm-hmm. of God, if you understand yourself enough and you can look at a person and be like, this person would fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the hunter part. That's mm-hmm. like, okay, now you jump in. That's where you should take pride in mm-hmm. that you took a leap of faith based on understanding of yourself that you've dealt with. Mm. And then you took a leap of faith and then you do the discovery part. And if it doesn't work out, you can actually even really have a good conversation about mm-hmm. that and be like, you know what? I wanted to go for this, but we're talking now and I see that there are some things that you like that I maybe don't like.
Yeah.
And I've decided that maybe I don't want to, even though that's another conversation, yeah. right? Because mm-hmm. you're never going to be perfect.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
Thank you, Yemi.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Do you have can sign up some men? You should start sending out newsletters.
Maybe a
summer camp? Give them 2 months, whip them right into shape with the Holy Spirit.
I think God is working in everyone's hearts.
Glorious.
And hallelujah. And they receive the truth. And it's not what I've said that's the truth. They receive whatever the real truth is.
But thank you. It's been an amazing episode.
Appreciate
Finally
it.
Got it out.
Thank you, guys.
I can't wait to listen to this over and over again. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all three of us.
Yes.
That's all, guys. If Yemi lets me, then maybe I might link his blog for you to get a little more taste.
Online diary.
Yeah, online diary. So we'll see. But that's all for now.
Bye.